I want to read another psalm this morning, which has a similar theme to Psalm 42 and 43. Psalm 42 and 43 are really one psalm. For some reason, they got separated in the English Bible, but they really, in the Hebrew Bible, they are one psalm. Psalm 88, just listen to these words. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I'm overwhelmed with troubles. And my life draws near to death. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm like one without strength. I'm set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You've put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with your waves. You've taken me from my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I'm confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you, Lord, for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth, I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long, they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken me from friend and neighbor. Darkness is my only companion. I realized this last week that not everybody can get in touch with what it's like to live with darkness as your only companion. The Psalm 42 and 43, Psalm 88 are really all about what it's like to live in darkness, to live with depression. You know, there's a spectrum of that kind of darkness from someone like me who kind of my Achilles heel is I've always been this kind of up and down kind of person. And when I'm down, I'm really low. And when I'm up, I'm really high. And as I've gotten older, that spectrum has become modulated a little less. And so it's more like this. But the darkness is dark. And I realized that not everybody is able to get in touch with what that feels like. And so, you know, if you're one of those persons who just can't relate to that, I get it. Maybe this sermon isn't for you. Or maybe you need to just listen a little bit and try and get in touch with it, because someone seated in this room, not far from you, does deal with that on a regular basis. And for some of them, like the psalmist, it's been the case most of their lives. Think of what it's like to live with something that drags you down into the pit for most of your life. I want to read a little section from a book entitled Darkness is My Only Companion. And I'll just read a portion of it. The author writes, I found no one to help me make sense of my pain with regard to my life before the triune God. I write this book then by way of an offering as what I wish someone had written to help me and make sense of the pain and apparent incongruity of that agony with the Christian life. Those Christians who have not faced the ravages of darkness should not be quick with advice to those who do suffer. Platitudes such as pray harder, let Jesus in, even cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you, which of course are all valid pieces of advice in and of themselves, may only make the depressive person hurt more. This is because depression is not just sadness or sorrow. Depression is not just negative thinking. Depression is not just being down. It is being cast to the very end of your tether and, quite frankly, being dropped. While God certainly can pick up the pieces and put them together in a new way, this can only happen if the depressed brain makes it through to see life among the living. She talks about a book written that's titled At the Edge of Darkness by Kathy Crosby. And she says her thesis is that love is the one thing that pulls us through the suffering. It sounds sweet and trite, but the kindnesses of strangers and friends, the acceptance of her disease by those who are able, the love of several men who serially played major roles in her healing, love heals. Yet human love, such as that of my husband, can certainly be a conduit for divine love, even for those who do not recognize love's true source. If it is the love of God that we see in the face of Jesus Christ that is promised to pull us through, a love that bears out to the edge of doom, even for the ugly and unlovable, such as we, then the statement that love heals depression is in fact the only light that exists in this dark tunnel. When I read words like that, I want you to know I resonate with that. And there are times in our lives when we feel like we're in a dark tunnel. And what is going to get us out of this? Thursday, I had the privilege of performing the wedding for Bruce and Kathy's daughter, Anna. And Anna and her husband-to-be, now husband, Josh, had decided that they were going to get married up on a mountaintop at the base of a waterfall. And so they actually went and visited the waterfall a couple weeks ago, and Anna and Kathy decided, well, A, at the base of the waterfall, there's no room for anybody to stand there, and B, even if there were, you can't hear anything. So they moved the wedding down a little bit, thank God, to a little clearing where the stream went by, and the path ran through the clearing, and we had that wedding. But to get up there, there was a hike. Quite a steep hike. Anybody who's been here very long knows I have certain issues. So I wouldn't have made it without the help of Will and Bruce, at points almost carrying me. So you can think what it's like for them. But along the way, as we're going up, And we're getting closer. At one point, Kathy says, we're almost there. We're getting closer. And I said, okay, almost there sounds good. Getting closer means not much to me. Because that's like 1 foot in front of the other, you know. Earlier in the week on Tuesday, I'd asked the staff, have any of you run a marathon? What's that like, you know? And they were talking about it, how what you have to do. And one of them, Denise, said, at some point along the way, you just have to say, embrace the suck. Embrace the suck. And I found myself, as I'm walking up this hill, and my understanding is that there's great beauty all around, but all I saw was the ground. And I found myself saying over and over again, embrace the suck, embrace the suck. Life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And there are times in life in which all we can say is embrace the suck. And how does God meet us in the midst of that? Well, that's what Psalm 42 is about. I'm going to go back and I'm just going to walk us through Psalm 42. It starts off by talking again about the deer panting for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. You know, it doesn't matter which fire, Waldo Canyon fire, the most recent fire in Black Forest, and the Hayman fire a few years ago, where we live, what we see is as the fire is happening, deer are running out of the forest, away from the fire, and looking for water. They pant for it. They find a way to find the water. What do you pant for? What do your children pant for? Can I just have can we have ice cream? Can we just have some ice cream? Well, you're nodding your head, yes? Is that kind of thing? Well, what do you pant for? Can I just have a good job? Can I just have a nice house? Can I just have enough money? Can I just have? Psalmist is saying, can I just have you, God? Can't I just have you? That's what I'm panting for. I'm panting for you. In the midst of that, he says, my tears have been my bread all day long, all night long. All the time, tears, I cry. Have you ever been in that kind of a situation where you just cry and cry and cry? Now, I'm not a crier. I cry at movies. My children like to make fun of me about that. But I can remember one period of time in my life when I was really low. And I cried almost continually. Until a friend came to sit with me and to be God to me. See, there are times in our lives when we need our Bruce and Will to carry us when we can't carry ourselves. As I said a couple of weeks ago, where we borrow somebody else's faith for a period of time. He says, in the midst of this, when I'm at my lowest and I'm crying all the time, I've got people around me and saying, where's your God? Where's your God? Taunting me. Why doesn't your God show up? Have you ever felt that way? God, where are you? Why don't you show up? Why don't you just come and fix this? Why don't you just come and meet me? What's wrong? The psalmist says, while I'm pouring out my soul, what I do, one of the things I do is I remember. I remember that I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. So while he sits, stands, and walks in the tunnel of darkness, part of what he does is he remembers his past and the way God had met him in the past. Now, what I know to be true about that is not only a remembering of hope, it is also a painful memory because what I experienced then is no longer my experience. And so it exacerbates the pain as well as provides hope for us. But that's part of what the people of God are called to do again and again and again, remember. Which is why when we come to this table, underneath this tablecloth, there is an inlay that says, do this in remembrance of me. Remember me. So every time we come to the table, part of what we are doing is we are remembering what Christ has accomplished and done in the past once and for all. But we also ought to remember the times and ways in which God has met us in the past, personally. Not just macro, but in my micro little life. Then the psalmist engages in self-talk. Self-talk is important The tapes that run in our minds can lead us down the wrong path, and we need to talk to ourselves. And what the psalmist says is, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So he doesn't just live with the depression and the darkness. He also speaks into it and says, why are you so downcast? Why are your face planted just on that path there when the beauty is all around you? Why are you so downcast? Well, there's actually reasons why he's downcast. But the self-talk is telling him, don't just focus on that. Focus on the beauty of God and what he's done in your life in the past and what he's going to do in your life in the future. Put your hope in God. See, if we put our hope in the darkness being completely dispelled, if we put our hope in the issues that face us in life of being completely fixed one way or the other, we're putting our hope in the wrong thing. Put your hope in God. The answer for us is always the presence of God in our lives. Amen. Augustine says, there is a God-shaped vacuum in every human being, and we are never satisfied until we meet him in that place, and he fills that vacuum. We said together something about going to broken cisterns and empty wells. We in America are masters at doing that. We build broken cisterns. We run after empty wells. And God says, only I will satisfy. Psalmist goes on to say, my soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. In other words, from the top of Israel to the bottom, to all the different places in which God has met him. In Jordan, in Jerusalem, and anonymous places that nobody else knows about. He says, deep calls to deep, in the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. In other words, in the chaos of my life, like being in the ocean and being hit by the waves and my feet knocked out from under me, that's also the place where God has met me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I actually think what he's getting at there is saying, I long for and I live in the reality that my life is a song to you. And I want to sing that song with you as you sing your song with me. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? We ought to hear the echoes of the cross in that. Not just Psalm 22, but here. My God, why have you forgotten me? Why have you left me alone? That's what Jesus said. When he went to the cross to provide life for us, part of what we remember is there is that forgottenness that Jesus went through himself, the darkness of that tunnel in which he said, I would just as soon not go through this. If there's any way you can take this cup from me, take it. But rather than that, I seek your will rather than mine. And because he did that, he does become God, our Savior. Why must I go about mourning and oppressed by the enemy? I said a few weeks ago, one of the things that's great about the Psalms, most of the time we don't know who the enemies are or what the enemy is. And that makes it good for us because then we apply our own enemies. So what are your enemies? Some of you live with the enemy of depression. I mean, it's outside yourself that comes to you. You didn't stand in line for it. For some of you, the enemy is people. There are people who are out to get you. You work with somebody who's just downright mean. For others, the enemy is cancer or some other debilitating disease. I mean, you need to pick your enemy. What is your enemy? I can't say that for you. You have to discern that. You have to know, who is the enemy? What is the enemy that is taunting you? Where is your God? Seeking to destroy you, to keep you mired in the pit of darkness. It says, my bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. I know I'm downcast, I know, but I am going to put my hope in God. For I will praise him, my Savior and my God. And then the plea, vindicate me, Lord. Vindicate me. In other words, fix this in a way that my faith in you cannot be called into question. Plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are God, my stronghold. So why have you rejected me? Why must I go about in mourning? Send your light and your faithful care, your grace, and let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, Zion, to the place where you dwell, in your tabernacle, in your temple. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. One of the things I love about that psalm is that it doesn't all get resolved in a nice, neat little package. What's happening with the psalmist is he stands in the middle of darkness, right here. And while he's there, he does two things. Just you. Hold on to my hand. You represent my past and the way God has met me in the past. Mark. You represent my hope in God for the future. In the meantime, I live in the tension between those two hopes. The hope of something not happening yet, and the hope, rather the praise, of that which has happened in the past. And my prayer is that God will lead me. And part of leading me is to bring me to this table where light and a different kind of bread and hope and grace abounds. And my friends, bring me there. Friends, today God has brought you here to this place to give you hope, to help you to remember how he's worked in the past and not let go of that. And give yourself to the God who is your Savior. He goes, thank you. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, I ask that as we come to be at your table with you, that we will remember you. Remember what you've done for the world, but also remember what you've done for us. That in our darkness we can long for the light and the water, the refreshment that only comes from you. And we believe that that light shone most brightly in Jesus of Nazareth. And it actually shone most brightly at the darkest moment on the cross, where he defeated the powers of darkness so that we might have new life. Give us that gift, O Lord. Vindicate us as you vindicated Jesus with his resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.